Isaiah chapter 3, we continue from where we stopped last time out. Isaiah chapter 3, we are looking at God's word to Isaiah for the children of Israel. Of course, you know in Bible study that something is not written directly to you does not mean it is not for you. So you can find instructions that are not directly at you, because there's no church in Lagos. You can find church in Corinth, church in Ephesus, a church in Thessalonica, Philippi, Laodicea. But you find church in Lagos. Maybe if there was a church in Lagos, Paul would have briefed them about traffic. And thou shalt leave for service early to avoid traffic at Antony. You could have had that, because there were things that were as natural as that there. Amen. But that something is not written to you does not mean you can't bring in lessons and instructions from them. And that's what God's word provides to us. So we're looking at one of such in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. The background of this is that God had said there would be a famine in the land and things would be destroyed. Military structures would collapse. He says, your militaries will be like babies. I'll give power to the babies, to the sucklings. But he told Isaiah to do something. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. And God says, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. And we start by saying, God is going to intervene. And I told you something on Sunday. I said, deliverance comes by what? The truth. You don't cast out demons to bring deliverance. You can cast out demons by authority. But true deliverance comes with knowledge. And it's a process. It's a process. Jesus says they will know the truth and the truth shall make them free. It's a making. You can cast out a demon from someone today and it's not delivered because he's still going to go back to it. It goes back to the same thing and this time around probably a stronger force. But what delivers a man is the truth. Remember when we look at strongholds? Huh? Upside down? So, God wants the righteous to hear something. It shall be well with him. Now, there are two things about the word shall. It means it has not happened. The second one means it will happen. How do you have a word that says both in the same breath? It shall be well with you means right now, it doesn't look it. But it definitely will happen. It's bound to happen. Because trusting God when things are smooth is easy. You don't even need it. So I'm trusting God. But you know what? Last night, I just got an investor that gave me $500 million. So I'm trusting God. You know, someone say, what are you trusting God for exactly? But trusting God is meant for the dark times. When it doesn't look like it's happening. When it doesn't look like prayers are going to be answered. Then you say, I am trusting. So God says to Isaiah, tell the righteous, it shall be well with him. That means what I hear can shape how I live. There's a story of a man that was wrongfully given a diagnosis. So they told him he was dying. And he started dying. And it was a wrong, they gave him someone else's. And he started dying. He started becoming sick. And the day he was told, oh, it was a mistake. Which, that's a lawsuit offense. Amen. You should sue. The day he was told, oh, it's a mistake. He started getting better. What changed? No medication prescribed. Nothing. Just what he had. If you're moody, and you're wearing the entire face of Nigeria, and someone tells you, what's your favorite food? Do you have a favorite food? What's that? You're thinking, you don't have. You don't have. Right, why? Shoot. What's your favorite meal? Amala. And what? Ewedu. You are from Ibadan. And as you're wearing that face at work, someone tells you, bro, your wife has made, where's your wife? Okay. Your wife has made Amala and Ewedu. And Arsenal just won the Champions League. Amen. We receive possibilities. Amen. Yeah. Yesterday night we dealt with some of those small boys from Fulham Road. Hallelujah. I'm not going to talk this season. You can say I've kept quiet. We walk in silence, stealth mode. And someone just tells you something. You know, it has a way of just brightening up your day. When you were in secondary school, and it tells you, the period will not hold. Those are one of my favorite times. Amen. I will not lie to you. Say, Father, Mass teacher will not be coming around. That period will not hold. Bro, come and see joy. You don't know what joy is. You will see men, I got you. Because what you hear, and then the moment you say, oh, cast captain now comes and say, she's around now. Sadness. Oh God. Or they say, tear a sheet of paper. You don't even know for what. Tear a sheet of paper, write your name, your matric number. You'll start sweating. What you heard immediately starts triggering systems. How much more is shaping your life? That's why if you devote your time to hear just anything, you become just anyone. You must pay attention to what you hear. Jesus said in Mark 4:24, says, take heed to what you hear. Mark 4:24. And if Jesus is telling you, pay attention to what you hear, you know that's important. That means it's important. Are you with me? You must filter what you hear. It's the reason why many have low self-esteem. Because they keep hearing things that downgrade them, that belittle them. And by the way, you don't have to hear it. If someone calls you a fool, are you a fool? Why is he paining you? I've told you before, yeah. I said, if you look at me and you say, you stupid, tall. I know I'm handsome. So I won't say handsome. As a lie. You this stupid tall, I'm not tall. And I'm not fair. And I'm not stupid. How about that? So he said, you this stupid tall Asian red hair woman. And you're talking to me. Red hair woman. Asian. I won't even answer you. Why? Because subconsciously, you can't be talking to me. I'm not a woman. I'm not Asian. And I don't have red hair. So someone looks at you and say, you are a fool. Why is he paining you? Do you think you are? You can never make it. Why is he paining you? Is there something running at the background that you cannot make it? And so you give in to that and say, pay attention to what you hear. It's the reason why many compare themselves to others. Oh, you had your senior boy or your senior preferred boy in secondary school or your course rep in university just got, I don't know, whatever. So you start looking at your life. And because you're following some kind of podcast and blogs and accounts, there are some accounts you can't see me follow. I'm sorry. There is nothing they are sharing there that crosses our path. I don't know what they want to share. It cannot edify me. It cannot get me better. So why would I bother listening to it? I told someone, one of you here, yeah? Someone very close to me. I said, there are some movies I don't watch. Don't teach me anything. I'd rather have you stupid. Be stupid and just entertain me. Amen. I also like predictable endings. They will fall in love. The prince will marry the poor girl. I know. I can see from the beginning. The moment they showed the girl that was in Granot. And they showed the prince that is looking for a wife to seal the kingdom. Bro, we both know the end. I like movies like that. Don't give me a movie that the end is just a demon just appeared from somewhere and he entered the guy. And I say, watch out for part two. Why? Why would I spend 2 hours watching horror? How people are going to die suddenly? They will just die from nowhere. Something just come out. There's an animal that is in town. Why? Is there an animal in town? No. But is there a prince? Yes. Can the prince marry the poor girl? Yes. Is that not better for you? It's entertainment. Some people now wonder where they are getting some kind of dreams from. In your dream, you are flying. Suddenly from flying, you just enter the river. You have fed yourself with so much information that you have to fly. Pay attention to what you hear. If you have someone that every time you talk and every time you interact, it makes you keep questioning, if you're doing well in life or not. I'm not talking about people who are ambitious and they spur you on. That's different. That's different. You should be ambitious. You should have ambitious friends. Friends that are not going anywhere are not going to help you. You tell your friend, so I want to just have a, I want to continue my education. Say, why? For what? Shit, no. I don't think that's a good friend. Amen. I think when you have the opportunity to get better in any way, you take it. Amen. Further, if you have to further. Get degrees, you have to get degrees. If you don't have to, it does not have to be that. You can also make impact in other places. But ensure you are moving forward. Is that clear? Ah, suddenly you're angry with me. Is that clear? Okay. So we say, you pay attention to what you hear. Just ensure you're feeding yourself with the right information. I told you on Sunday. You go to social media and then someone say, if you take this tea, if you take this kind of food, it damages your pancreas. If you take this one, your kidney. If you take this one, your liver. Say, if you take shawarma, your brain. If you take, what else? If you watch Chelsea match, your pancreas. And you see all of those information. And because of that, you now have like 25 vitamins you are using. Only you. Are you trying to morph into an alien? Only you magnesium. Only you calcium. Vitamin D, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin X. Vitamin X, Y, Z. You don't want that one, amen. We should not be decoding it here, right? They write X, Y, Z on your... Amen. Vitamin X, Y, Z. Or because you're living in perpetual fear. What will happen tomorrow? As you are drinking tea, you're already thinking about colon cancer. Why? Then that means you're not feeding yourself with the right things. I'm sorry. You need to unfollow those accounts. Maybe you should listen to more testimonies of people getting healed. And people walking in divine health. By the way, can we jam our hands together to God for the life of Ron Kennelly? Please do. What an amazing man of God. He just gained. Amen. Amazing man. How many of you listen to Ron Kennelly? I remember teaching the children church choir a lot of songs, Ron Kennelly, while I was in children church and teens church. Amazing man of God. Amazing man of God. He passed at 81 yesterday. All right. So he said, you feed yourself with the right information. And God is going to step in for these people and he said, Isaiah has to tell them something. It shall be well with you. So that means God has a reserved will for the righteous. And that is that it shall be well with them. The question is, do you accept it as yours? Because listen, God cannot force his desires on you. God can say it shall be well and you can say no. A man can say no to God. We saw that with Israel. God told Moses, I have heard the cry of my children, my people. Moses was asked, who are your people? Because I know many people. I know the daughter of Pharaoh was kind enough to raise me. I know my sister Miriam and my mother. And I know some beautiful ladies that are Midianites. Who are your people? And God said, Israel, I've heard that cry. You know, there are people who have said, maybe this is my cross. What do you mean by it's your cross? God said, it shall be well with you. Why not take it and say, it shall be well with me? Like I said, it's a statement of trust. If it is already well with you, you will not need to say, it shall be well with you. All this saying, it shall be well with me. That's not what it is. Let's face reality. Well, shall is a reality. If God says it shall be well with you, it means he has seen it and he's telling you definitely it ends well. You say, but pastor, why is it that sometimes it doesn't end well? Well, you have no idea on people's journey. I remember some ago, Pastor Chris said, someone told him, he said, there's this man I know. He has been living in faith all his life and he still died from the sickness. Pastor Chris said, how do you know he has been living in faith all his life? So we know him, he's a man of faith. So when the man died, the children came and said, even though daddy has been talking about it for years that he will die from this sickness. So the man came back and said, he has not been living in faith. Sometimes you assume for people, but you have no business in doing that. Face your journey. I don't care even if pastor is living by faith. I take God's word as God's word and I live by it. Simple. If he says he shall be well with me, I take it like that. I don't need to carry any cross. Jesus did that. Why am I carrying another one? I'm not talking about persecutions. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about seeing sicknesses, seeing lack as the will of God. No, it's not. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you just have to take it in and tell yourself, I know very well, according to the word of God, it shall be well with me. How hard is it? How much do you lose from saying that? Nothing. How much are you going to lose from trusting God's word? Nothing. You rather say it. You rather side with it. Don't oppose what God is saying with your own mouth. Israel, God took them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. That's the greatest deliverance story you will see. Pharaoh said they are not going anywhere. And God said, you know what? Watch it. Season 1, season 2, season 3. You are going to see film. And he saw film. Amen. They came out. Guess the people. At the first sign of hunger. Guess what they said. And we're eating bread though. We're eating bread in Egypt too. But that bread was the price for your freedom. There are people who just want small things. They don't want anything big in life. Just, even if you offer them complete healing, they will tell you, I just want to not feel pain. The sickness can still be there, but just not feel pain. Why? Let me show you something. In Exodus 1, look at them. Learn something? Exodus 1. Pharaoh saw something. Verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt that did not know Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more in numbers, and they are mightier than we. So the man has done his studies, and he said, the way these children of Israel are growing, they are more in numbers, and they are stronger. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there is any war, they join with our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. So they set them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. I'm going to go Pithom and Ramses some months to come, years to come, hopefully. So he said, these guys are plenty, but they have no purpose. They are plenty. They are strong, but they have nothing to do with the strength. Let us give them a purpose. The purpose is they will keep building for Pharaoh. They won't have anything to do with their lives. They just keep building for us. Because, how did he know they didn't have a purpose? He said, if a war breaks out, they can side with anybody. If someone gives them what I'm giving them, they will take it. So, we need to bring them in mental captivity. Make them feel like they have a purpose. So, generation after generation, a child is born, and you ask him, what does he want to be? He wants to be for Pharaoh. I don't want to go there. But there's no country in the world that plans for immigrants to be in the higher class. Nah, it's not for now. It's not for now. Because then, the work stops. So, if you are relocating, something must change. I'm not saying there are no immigrants in the higher class. I'm saying no country plans for it. It's not systematically scheduled for that. But today is not the day for that one. So Pharaoh said, let's keep them working. Give them something that looks like a purpose. And they took that even to the wilderness. Even after their supposed deliverance. He said, we had bread. We had shawarma in Egypt. How do you not see that the shawarma was bound in chains? How can you not see that? And sometimes that's how we live our lives. We just don't see what God sees in the bigger picture. Are there instructions that will look like regression? Yes. But God sees better than you. And he says, it shall be well with you. If you don't take that, you take something else. You must come to a point where you see, you know what? God sees better than I do. And I trust him. So if he tells me, move, I move. If he tells me, quit, I quit. If he tells me, start, I start. Are you listening to me? So you see where the Jewish parties, you must recognize what God is saying today. Not the one yesterday. You must recognize what God is saying today. We must side with His word. So they would rather go back to building for Pharaoh than to trust God's word. And because of that, there's little God can do for them. Jesus kept asking, what will you have me do for you? I mean, the man was calling, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Remember the blind man? Jesus, son of David. Bible said he kept shouting. Maybe Jesus had a fragrance. Everybody knew. Amen. Signature perfume. Nah. He didn't. He didn't go to Jaya's store. He heard Jesus was moving. And he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus went to him and said, what can I do for you? Yeah, you have felt that's a strange question. Because obviously he's blind. So the next thing is, oh, have mercy on me. Then you have mercy, you want to see. No, but Jesus is wiser than that. He knew that sometimes people, God said, I have heard their cry. So I told myself, I said, that means people can cry and it's not for freedom. They're just crying because they were in pain. Bro, people can cry and it's not because they want freedom. Don't we see that with Nigeria? How many of you have been on campaign grounds before? How many of you are a graduate? You are a graduate of an higher institution. Up. Graduate, undergraduate, MC. Okay, good. How many of you graduates have a party card? Oh, imagine. How many have been to campaign grounds? So when you cry every 4 years, for what exactly? Where the decisions are being made, you are not there. So, the next president goes, God, help us in this country. How will he help you? You've got no voter's card. You don't have a voter's card. Some of you, the reason why you have a voter's card is so that you can have means of ID. Not because you want to vote. But David, you are the one I was thinking about. Amen. Means of ID is the reason why you have NIN. You don't really care like that. But you are saying, God, deliver us in this country. How will he do it? So people can cry, and it's not for freedom. Amen. So God said, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? The man said, it's my eyes. Oh, Jesus said, okay. Now I see. Amen. Prophet used to get this thing. He said, it's my eyes. Then Jesus said, now I see. Amen. I planned that. Now you should laugh. You have still not gotten it. Oh, more. Ma, take our vitamins. Because we have the man who was at a beautiful gate. The temple gate. And he was there. And when Peter and James came to pray, Peter and John, what did he ask for? Healing? He asked for money. He has been lame since birth. He can't walk since birth. And the thing he asked for was money. Not healing. So sometimes God, you need to side with God. God is not going to automatically fulfill your desires. You need to bring your desires and say, you know what? This is what I desire. He's not going to force his own on you. So if he says he shall be well with you, you need to bring that to yourself. Don't just say, what will be. No. What will be is that it will be well with me. It will be well with my family, with my finances, it will be well with my children, it will be well with my career, it will be well with my, what else? Education? It will be well with me. I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus, it shall be well with me. You believe that? Or you're just saying it? Huh? Oh, you do? The man, he didn't ask for healing. He wanted money. And so, Jesus, God told Isaiah, tell the righteous, it shall be well with him. So he said, what we hear is vital, is important. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That means I can't even be saved if I didn't hear. Or see. Amen. Because someone can be deaf and be saved. Amen. Yeah, if you can communicate properly. I say, but if a person is deaf, can't, as he's getting saved, can't the ear open? Not every time, bro. Amen. Not every time. But Jesus definitely can do that. We receive more deaf ears unstopped. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, because the gospel has power. It's not just words. It's power. We can have signs and wonders in the name of the Lord Jesus. Someone was still reaching out yesterday. I've forgotten I prayed for him. He was telling me, it is done now. I said, ooh, we receive more of that. Amen. Healings and miracles and God stepping in supernaturally. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So what we hear is vital. And that's why believers must be sources of encouragement to one another. The church must not be the place where you tear people down with gossip. Cho-cho-cho. You know about everybody. It's the open blog that remain. Not see pastor. Should I told you that last week? Have you seen your faith recently? I told you now. Bro, where? That one. Bro Isaac. You know everybody except Jesus. Because you don't know Jesus the way you are doing. I know the person pastor is going to marry. Amen. That's why pastors used to go and marry fast. Because gossip. The best pastor is going to marry. Brushola. I know. I will not tell you. Why? You know who everybody will marry. You Nko. Oh, you are married. Cho cho cho! You have never lifted anybody up with your tongue, with your words. I say, you know what? Let's pray together. I trust God. Mm-mm. If they use mistake to tell you their problems, to pray with them, voila. The problem can double. Because you go and tell your other people about the problem. Say, let's agree. Next day. What I'm hearing. Can you believe Robert told me to pray about his life that, that one I say, don't tell anybody. This thing I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. That one will not go. Sister Niola, don't tell. I don't even know if I should tell you this thing. Don't tell anybody. The moment you come to me and you tell me, you don't know if you should tell me something, I will tell you, don't tell me. Except you want to confide in me as your pastor. Friends, those around me, if you come to me and say, I don't know if I should tell you this. I said, I don't want. I'm not your dump site. Come and dump gists. Some people like it. Believers. You don't have any gist for me today. Why must they have something for you today? You don't read news. You don't listen to the news. If you need gist every day, buy newspaper. They are about 20 pages. You will see different things. EFCC has already arranged for someone now again. Is that not a gist? Amen. Campaign has started. Is that not a gist? They say Nigeria real GDP. Number 6. Is that not a gist? Real GDP. We will see it. Amen. World Cup. Is this year? Abi? Later. Is there not a gist? Why you look for a gist about this brochure? Why you don't like gist about Tinubu? Amen. Instead of tearing other believers down, we must be pillars of comfort. In fact, the gift of the spirit of prophecy is to build others up to comfort. That's why we prophesy. If your prophecy tear people down and cause them to have nightmares, it's not prophecy. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 2 to 4, prophecy is for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. That's what prophecy is for. To build up and to calm down. What did I say? Prophecy is what? To build up and to calm down. You feel that one? Write it down. It's to build you up and to calm you down. In Hebrews 10 verse 24 and 25, it says, we must gather. Not as the manner of some is. You see people say, I don't go to church. I'm the church. Okay. Church. Well done. I remember on campus I was preaching. I preach every Sunday morning, because my fellowship was in the afternoon when I was in year one. So one of those Sunday mornings when I was preaching, I must have told this story a million times. Some people you are tired of my story. You hear it again. Paul says, for me, it's not difficult to say. To you, it's edifying. Amen. That's Philippians 3, 1 and 2. He says, to say the same things, I will say it. And so I was preaching and I got to this brother's room. So I after talking, he said he was a Christian. I said, oh, okay. Can we just pray together then?
So I said, I would like to invite you for our fellowship in the afternoon. You look at me like this. No, there's this posture of emoji. Man of God. The man of God has posture. So look at me and say, and he was slapping me. He said, I don't go to all those gatherings. So I said, is it because it's afternoon? I said, God is everywhere at any time. He said, no, I don't go to any church. I said, why? He said, I am the church. My normal self then, I want to say, really, you make me. That was the first second. Like, but I'm on outreach. So I said, hey, you are the church. I said, so, you are a pastor? I said, no, I have a pastor. I said, let me show you. So he opened his laptop. So I already knew his church. Your laptop is in his church. The church is in laptop. The laptop is in the church. He opened the laptop. Then he played Pastor Yoyak Hillman. And so I said, pause. See those crowds? He said, yeah. He said, they are in church. He said, what do you mean? I said, you just paused your pastor. You are in church, but you paused pastor. You can pause pastor to go and urinate and come back. I said, what if your laptop spoils? He said, I'll go and repair it. You go and repair your pastor. He said, so where do you give offering? He said, I give offering. Bro, they give offering to himself. I said, where's your choir? Where's the choir? He played me. He opened tab. He sung. I said, we'll talk. We have to talk. This is not it. Amen. If everybody you are seeing sat at home like you, that pastor you are watching will not have mic. Amen. I came here today and I'm teaching. How this mic came on, I don't even know. Sincerely. I was not there when it was on. I was not there when the generator was switched on. I'm fulfilling my part. Someone else is fulfilling their part. Together, we have come in as a church. Some people sang and we were singing together to edify ourselves, right? Someone's on the keyboard, someone's on the drums. Some people arranged this place. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people swept this place. Some people took care of the restrooms. Some people welcomed you. They are in red and black. Amen. That is church. If everybody sat at home and opened their laptop, that pastor will have nothing to preach. Amen. See, I'm a part of the body of Christ. And I love the church. And so Paul says, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, says, when we gather like that, we gather to comfort and edify one another as the day appears. As the coming of Christ draw near, we must encourage and comfort one another. That is what the church is for. So the next time someone tells you about something going on that is unpalatable, you must be a source of encouragement and say, it shall be well with you. I'll stand with you, brother, and I say in the name of the Lord Jesus, things will fall in place. I say in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know what? You'll be fine. Amen. God will work it out. Amen. That is what it means to be Christian. Don't be a prophet of doom. Every time people come to you, they expect the worst of news. Someone comes to you, say, I've been feeling the pain. And I say, that's where the kidney is. So, this year, God knows what's happening in this country. This year, I've had 22 people. That's not what they want to hear. I've had 22 people. Hey, this kidney thing. You two don't have it. What are we now going to do like this now? Because you cannot die. It does not fit you. There's a proverb. Say, you see a 50-year-old man. He puts rope on the neck of a chicken. The rope does not fit the man. It does not fit the chicken. Amen. I don't know how to say it in my local dialect. It does not fit you. It does not fit both of you. It does not fit you as a Christian to be a prophet of doom. The Bible, the Christian faith is optimistic. There's nothing pessimistic about the Christian faith. That thing that wants you to be, you say, I'm just being realistic. It's not realism. Realism is to side with God's word. So if he says sicknesses can be healed, I stay with that. It takes nothing to side with God. It just takes faith. Amen. It's not realism. If pessimism is realism, then optimism is realism. There are two sides. There are two different sides. And none of them is 100%. Amen. So if you can say pessimism is realism, then optimism is also realism. Someone just says zim, zim, zim. Then call it. Be optimistic. The righteous shall be as bold as lion. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Oh, that work that you spent so much, you know, learning that skill, and it doesn't look like it's profiting. It shall be well with you.
Amen.
God will bring opportunity. Why not wake up in the morning and say, you know what? Simple prayers. You know, some of you pray in tongues because you don't know how to pray. And praying in tongues is good. Praying in tongues is the best. Hallelujah. But you must also know how to pray. To go to God and say, what is that rule? I've gone to God before. I don't know who I was sharing with. And I said, what is that rule? God, I'm suffering. Oh. And the way it's going like this, I don't even know when the next cash is coming from. I had salaries to pay. Now that's some years ago. You know, say, hey, Pastor, I didn't know you were suffering like this. I've drawn 5K. I said, help me. I was sharing that story with one of you. Who is that? It was you. Okay. I said, I don't speak in tongues though. Because you know when I'm speaking, no man understand. And I want to understand what I'm saying. Because I said, as it is now. I remember I was not married. I remember that month I collected NEPA money from you. Remember? NEPA was in cost light. I was not prepared. I had to call my wife. Not my wife then, amen. Say, Alpha, can you borrow me? So because they had compounded the money on this stuff. And I said, I can't live like this. I just finished paying salary. She said, okay, God, this is what we're going to do. You are going to provide for me. Does that work? Amen. And God said, no worry, it works. Men and brethren, it didn't take 2 weeks. An opportunity I didn't even know existed. Just ideas. And from there, phew. Pastor, what do you mean by few? You find out, you go pray. Amen. That's how easy it is to trust God and pray. You don't have rent. You are saying, ba-ba-ba, shata-ba-ba. Maybe you should hold that first. I'm serious. Wait. How hard is it to go to God, take His word, and say, help me, Lord. It looks like I'm at a crossroad. Amen. And you discover that as you go on in that, you'll be energized more and you end up praying in tongues. Don't waste hours of prayer where you're praying in tongues and your heart is not even there. Every opportunity to pray, be it 5 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, is an opportunity to build up yourself. Take it as felt. Take it as prayer. Interject it with God's word. Interject it with what you understand. Amen. That's how to pray. I've told you before. It's either you are praying or you are doing like you are praying. Some people like the idea of praying. I was on Spotify and I was hearing the chant. What's that? Are you praying? Are you praying or just want to look like you can pray? There are two different things. How do we get it? Do we get here? The core prayer point. Next thing. Why? It not be any. Pray. Not do like you are praying. You can actually be passionate in prayer like that, but ensure you are praying. Trust God. Okay, that's where we learn to go to God in prayer. If He said it shall be well with the righteous, then I believe it shall be well with me. So let's go to this B part. Isaiah 3, verse 10. Are you learning something? Oh, I've offended you. If I offended you, Biko, sorry. Sorry. Isaiah 3, verse 10. Are you there? Say you to the righteous, it shall be well with him. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. Say doings. So I said, God is a judge. I know you like the part of it shall be well with him, but God is telling you, you also, like, part of that being well with you is because you have done good. People like to reap good, but how many people can sow good? Galatians 6, in verse 7 and 8, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. That's not just about money. Because the only time people see that thing is money.
Whatever a man sow, if you can sow to God $10,000, I would like that. Don't you think? But if you sow wickedness, you will reap it too. Shekinah, God is the righteous judge. Because human nature is almost like a duality. Almost like a duality. The duality of man. Today you are good, tomorrow we don't know who you are again, and you are a believer. David was the oppressed, being chased by Saul for 13 years. And David, the same David, was the one signing on Uriah's death certificate. How do you go from being the oppressed to the oppressor? The duality of man. And either way, you reap. Amen. If you look at verse 11, Isaiah 3:11. It says to the wicked, he shall be ill with him. So, God is a righteous judge. In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 8. Are you learning something? Mm-hmm. So if you sow bad things, repent. You sow the seed of discord, of disunity. You have never said good things about people. It's always something that can bring them down. One day, they might need to say good about you in a room and they won't. It takes nothing to be good. It takes nothing to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Kindness. Are you kind? Be kind. It takes nothing. In Ephesians 6 verse 8, are you there? He says, knowing that whatsoever good thing a man does, he shall receive the same of the Lord, whether he is bond or free. Whatsoever good thing a man does, he will receive the same from God. Kind people will receive kindness. I'm not saying be kind. As you have been kind, you have been telling the person you have been kind to. Move your feet by kindness. No. No. As I'm kind to you, I receive kind. No, that, some we have some local worship. That once you want to give money to someone, you don't do like this. The beggars are supposed not collect the money, but they will collect it. Because people are going through things, amen. How can you? I want to reap. No. Be kind. It takes nothing. You've got an array of shoes. Some you have not even worn in months. They are not even your size again. You don't even know the last time you've worn that shoe. Why not package it? Take it to the shoemaker. Let them polish it well. And give someone you know needs it. You don't need it. Some of your clothes, why are you keeping it? See, your wardrobe is not a museum. Give it to people that need it. Amen. As simple as some people, data is data. Bro, 2 gig. They will appreciate. But no. You rather that your data solution, it must, the deadline will pass and you will not use it. Why? Why is the world so wicked? Amen. Please don't clip that way. Don't clip it. I don't want to sit on my birthday. Say, why is the world so wicked? Because I don't understand. Be kind. Hope I don't give you one nonsense idea. I said I don't want to see it. Be kind. Be a good person. Because the truth is that you are speaking in tongues does not mean you will not reap what you have sown. If you give good report about others, others will give good report about you. See, let me say it. In the place where they don't give report about you, God will step in. Because you are a good person. God will step in. Sooner or later. That's how, see, he says, Bible says, promotion does not come from the east or from the west. From God, the righteous judge. God, the way God judges is by promoting. Don't try to revenge for God. Don't say, and I'll make that guy reap what he sow. So, someone was bad to you. And then, you want to now repay. Why? Avenge not yourselves. God says, I will avenge. Romans 12. I will. It's not in your hand to be bad to the person that was bad to you. I know it can pain because sometimes the reason why you want to make it so bad is to pepper them. You understand? I understand. I understand your heart. Those people that say, no, that your ex. So on the wedding, you now share video. You ensure that it must reach him. He must see
the kind of man I married. And the man you married not even know that. This our wedding is a pepper dem exhibition. You, everything about your life is revenge, revenge, revenge. Oh, this person, if you know what he said to me, to the boss, you know that the boss trusts me and told me to stay away from. So now you want to revenge. So they said nominate someone for promotion. And you know that he is well. When you, if you put all bias aside and all malice, this person is qualified, knows her job to the T. What you say? See what God has done. See how God judge you. He's in my front now. They say I should nominate. They say I'm the one nominating this year. If anybody that is bearing a first letter of name cannot enter this book. You can't choose how God is going to judge people. Paul was part of the who that stoned Stephen. And God put the anointing on Stephen, on Paul. It's not left for you to figure out why he wants to do it. Stephen died, but he lived on. Amen. So when he said, I saw the heaven open, it's not today. The one who was getting it was coding bags and shoes of people. Say, go and stone him. And God was doing transfer of files. Paul didn't know he was being anointed at Stephen's death. Imagine judging Paul. Let God be that, the one that will do it. Do you know what Paul faced? From the call, God told him, from the call of ministry, God told him, you will go to prison. You will do jail. Paul did jail. He himself knows, say, he did jail. He's the one. He was on a missionary journey. The ocean started doing kinikini. A viper fasted himself to Paul's hand. First, just because of how many disciples were killed. He went to preach somewhere. They put him in jail. As he was praise. Paul and Silas, they pray, they sang, the Holy Ghost came down. As he was leaving, he's from one trouble to the other. At some point, they wanted to throw him away from a city. He had to be let down with a rope inside a basket. He was running for his life. What was he doing before? Others were running for their life. Abi? You will reap what you sow, even with the anointing. So yeah, Pastor Moody, so gone. You will say to the righteous, it should be well with him, and he will reap the fruit of his labor. That's why you must labor well. Are you with me? You're no longer with me. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
God is the one who judges. He judges diligent pursuit. He judges faithfulness. He judges commitment. He judges sincerity of the heart. People might not see what you're doing, but you're not doing it for people. Especially in the house of God. Let me say this. Whatever you're doing is not for people to see. The pastor may not even know. He may not even appreciate you. It may look like you go unpraised. Your praises are unsung. No one seems to really know the impact and the value you bring. But see, it's unto the Lord. The moment you receive your praises of men, that's all. Remember Jesus was giving that parable about the Pharisees. He said they like to pray in the corners of the street to be seen of men, where people will pass. He said, but that's all they get. Not answered prayers. They get to be seen. I want the God who sees me in secret to reward me openly. That's what I want. So you do yours for the Lord. When shit here for long. You have heard that before? You do your own for God. That's what that scripture says. Say, for God loves a cheerful giver. It doesn't mean that God loves cheerful givers alone. Mm-mm. It means for God loves a cheerful giver gives because of her love or his love for God. You get what I just said? You can say for fame. You see, imagine saying for fame is the reason why someone is giving. So you now say for God. That means the reason for my giving is for God. So for God, the love of a cheerful giver is for God, not for money. You don't give to God so that you can get back. That's not giving. That's transaction.
And that's why in the Church of Christ today, if you teach this, how many people will still give? By the way, I want to appreciate those who give to me every month. I cannot sing your praise enough. Thank you very much. God asked me to tell you this publicly. I've never said it before. Well, thank you. Because really, why? I'm not going to come and make you as a pastor because you gave me dough. Amen. I'm not going to say I'm not teaching today. That person that gave me 3 million, I beg. Come and teach. Downside up. Now, a cheerful giver gives because of his love for God, not because of a transaction. How many people will still give in church today if we tell you that the giving is because of God? Giving is for the work of ministry. It's not because you're going to get anything back. What people put their money back in their pockets? Because they were never given to God, they were given to their greed. The moment someone tells you it's not going to multiply, we used to give. Is it making sense? I think I taught this before. What was the teaching? I taught you the first square. Huh? Scriptural giving. Is it on GSC Media? Yeah. I taught that first square. For God loves... Let's say something. You don't want to see that. For God loves a cheerful giver. Do yours for God. Same thing with patience. Same thing with kindness. You're not kind to people because they look like they deserve the kindness. I learned that. There are some people that, the way they are doing self, you say, I can never give you my money. Nah. If there's only one person, one kind of people I don't like giving my money to, is the ungrateful. Because even God detests the ungrateful. Amen. But you see every other thing. I remember some years ago, I was working in Louth, and so we saw someone, and he brought in a list of drugs. I must have shared the story before. He brought in a list of drugs. See, some stories I will share is forever. And he said, this is drugs. It's for... So I gave him money. I think maybe it was 5,000 naira or something. Something not... So the person I was working with, we were colleagues, he said, maybe you be pastor. You supposed to say they lie. I said, I know. You think I don't know he's lying? I know. I said, but someone comes to you, he has a list of drugs, and he's telling you that he has cancer. Say, whatever hunger can make him put cancer on his head, let me give him money. He's hungry. Nobody likes to beg. Have you seen someone that has money and still begging before? Your best friend, your bestie. There are some best friends, they will still beg. Say, for him to put this kind of sickness on his own head, and he has done diligence to have this drug, he's hungry. Hey, boy, use that money to smoke. Hey, let him use part now. Who shall eat out of it? I'm okay. I'm not giving to him because it's worth it. In quote, every human is. I'm giving to him because I know he's hungry. I can see it. You know, there's a way you can see that. Hunger. Hallelujah. So it's not intermittent fasting. It's not. It's consistent hunger. A commitment to hunger. You could see it on his face. So I gave him, I said, hello, Jeono. He has me say, she. Hello, Jeono means, first thing, go and eat. When you have finished eating, you can go and review these, your drugs, because they are not consistent with what you said. Amen. He looked at me. I know you are lying. You're not giving because, you're doing yours for God because God is going to reward you with the fruit of your labor. This one is not whether you say amen or not. It will happen. If you tear others down, I'm sorry, it's not breaking news. You know what will happen. The beautiful thing about sowing is that you reap more than you sow. It can be beautiful, it can be dreadful. You will reap more than you sow. If you sow a seed of orange, you will get a tree. Are you listening to me? Even sometimes children, to some people's children, what did Jonathan do? Nothing. He died with Saul. Whatever you sow, you reap. One of the most pitiful stories,
every time I'm reviewing Jonathan again, I'm reading again. There's always something new. I trust God to help us look at it. I know I've taught Jonathan before, on the lines of David and loyalty, but quite a lot of things from the man's life. And so, my guy, amen. You sow what you reap. I mean, you reap what you sow. Amen. You reap what you sow. You will. You will. Why is the church quiet? You didn't say amen to that. I said you will. Yeah. Suddenly, amen is not as loud. You say, oh, man. How do you say amen to this now? That's why you, that's why God's word is coming to you now. Pray for me as I close. So that you can pay attention to good deeds. God rewards good deeds. He does. See, God is not forgetful to forget your labor of love. That's what the Bible says. He rewards good deeds. He rewards prayer. He rewards sacrifice. He rewards sacrifice. He rewards kindness. He rewards patience. And he says to you, it shall be well with you. So look at everything. Look at the yesteryears. And times when you even didn't have enough, yet you gave out of the little. God is saying it. He has seen it. And he's telling you, calm down. It shall be well with you. It shall. It shall. But if there's something you must consistently do, watch what you do. There's no king forever. Only God. Watch the kind of seed you sow. Watch. We live in a world where Christians want to just be anything and do anything anyhow. You give account. And God is a righteous judge. He will bring it to your notice. Whether you are Paul or you are Peter. Can we bow our heads? Don't stand up, just bow your heads. There are two parts to this prayer. If you feel you should pray more, look up. If you feel you should pray more towards the B part, so you are reaping fruit of your labor, ask God to help you to sow better seeds. If you're going through one thing or the other and you sense that God is asking you to trust Him, that it shall be well, you pray towards that. Is that clear? Can we do that now? Don't pray in tongues. Pray your language. Language you understand.